Hey, everybody. Yes, it's been a while since I rapped at you, and it's the same excuse. Work, work, work. But it's Monday night, March 11th, and Bitcoin is sitting at 72,290 as I record this. And I'm going to have a quick Bush Light and actually record an episode. So I just looked and I put out my last episode on November 18th. So it's really been a while. But if you haven't listened to that last episode, I really would encourage you to do so. I basically lifted a speech from the great Barry Weiss and just threw it on there. And well, I think it's the most important episode of this podcast so far. So please do listen to episode 102. If you have the chance. I've got some ground to cover today, and it all centers around Bitcoin. And to kick it off, I want to read an email that I received related to that sweet, sweet orange asset. The message comes from a guy named Ron in Georgia. Here we go. A friend of mine who knows how I feel about Bitcoin told me about your podcast, so I decided to give it a listen. And what I hear is frightening. Oh, and by the way, he misspelled frightening. To think that people might actually take your advice, with you being someone who has no business or credentials to be talking about personal finance and investing, is very scary. Then, to suggest people place, depending on their age, what could be a majority of their net worth into Bitcoin is the height of irresponsibility. He spelled irresponsibility correctly. Do yourself and your audience a favor. Stick with current events and rants about the economy, but leave financial advice to professionals. And no professional would ever advise their clients to buy a speculative, volatile asset like Bitcoin. Well, first off, thanks for the email, Ron. If you listen to the end of pretty much every one of my podcasts, there's a disclaimer clearly stating that my content is not financial advice. But now the fun part. I received Ron's email last September 1st. I don't get a lot of email. And well, like now, I was busy as hell and not really putting out much content. So I just sat on that email thinking I'd address it at some point, but then went on to forget about it. But get this. The price of Bitcoin on September 1st was $25,800. So Ron goes off on a podcaster he doesn't like, when instead, if he'd put 10 grand into Bitcoin that day, he'd now have almost $28,000. Yep, he could have made a 280% return on his investment. So Ron, my only answer would be to give you some advice. A, consider buying some Bitcoin now before it truly goes parabolic, and B, go fuck yourself. That email got me thinking about the first time that I mentioned Bitcoin on the podcast, and before I actually took the time to learn about Bitcoin, I was pretty down on it. I first bought, well before I ever did this podcast, back at the peak in 2017, and I watched it crater and then sold it at the bottom to lock my losses. At the time, I was like Ron. I didn't have the intellectual curiosity to actually read and learn and study about the asset. I was basically a dipshit like Ron. So I went back into the archives, and here is the first time I mentioned Bitcoin in, I think, June of 2021 on episode 18. And just remember, there's no such thing as cryptocurrency, finger quotes, investing. We're talking about an asset class that's basically a decade old, and it's just too new at this point. I mean, you'll find guys analyzing the Fibonacci's and newsletter writers talking about million-dollar Bitcoin and the hodlers and all this, but any money that you put into this asset is speculation. It's gambling, not investing. End of sermon. So, has my opinion of Bitcoin changed in the last 3 years since I recorded that? Well, if you've listened to this podcast, you know it has. I'm irresponsibly long on Bitcoin. I spend at least an hour every day of the week researching it, reading about it, listening to audiobooks or podcasts about it, and to show what an idiot I am and how irresponsibly long on Bitcoin I am, I've even taken cash advances on a credit card to buy more of it. I'm balls deep, baby. Now, let's teleport ourselves back to July of 2021 to episode 24, when I decided unlike Ron, to actually invest some money and time to learn about Bitcoin. Well, I've talked a bit about crypto on this show. I own a little bit of Bitcoin, a bit of Ether, and some other assorted altcoins. Oh, and I just bought my first NFT a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, my problem is I know just enough about this space to know that I really don't know shit about it, and I need to figure this stuff out. So as part of my ongoing mission to serve you, I'm starting Anthony Pompliano's Fundamentals of Bitcoin and Crypto course next week. If you're not familiar with Pompliano, he's got a show called The Pomp Podcast, and it's pretty good. Truth be told, I like the Modern Finance Podcast better, but in my opinion, if you want to stay up to date in the crypto world, you need to listen to both of those podcasts. Anyway, Pompliano has this class, and you have to apply to get in, and I think the application process, honestly, is more of a formality than anything, but I applied, and I was accepted, and I just threw him $1,000 to join the class. Now, you might be saying to yourself, why would he pay $1,000 to learn what you could probably easily pick up on YouTube? Well, I've found that if you pay for something, if you have skin in the game, and most important, maybe if it's scheduled, you take it more seriously and you get more out of it. So pay for it, I did. Okay, so Pomp's crypto course was really good. And right in the middle of taking that course, I still was pretty set in my ways and thought I was the smartest guy in the room. But after I finished Pomp's course, I started really getting informed about Bitcoin. I started warming up to it. Beginning in August of 21, I started sharing some insights about it here on the show, you know, beginner stuff, just to kind of pass along the details of what I was learning, including, if you recall, a long-winded rundown of when I got my own little Bitcoin node set up. So, where am I going with all this? Well, in August of 21, Bitcoin was trading in the mid-40s. And no, I was not giving you advice to buy Bitcoin, but I started talking about it regularly. In fact, I looked back and I talked about Bitcoin in pretty much every one of the subsequent 70 or so episodes I recorded. But anyway, if you had decided to come along with me on this journey, here's what could have happened. The first time I mentioned dollar cost averaging into Bitcoin was episode 33, in late summer of 21. And let's say you'd started learning about Bitcoin earlier that summer and then decided to do the same thing I was doing. Maybe pop a small amount of cash into Bitcoin at regular intervals just to play with it. Now, remember, we were approaching the top back then, and the price was now about $47,000 when I shared that I was DCAing in. And since then, I've gone nuts, selling a couple rental properties, selling all my silver. I sold all my silver like about a month ago. And every dollar that I've made playing music on the weekends, I've put into Bitcoin, on and on and on and on. These are things I'd never recommend, but check this out. If you or someone else listening to this show would have started DCAing into Bitcoin on, say, August 15th, 2021, let's say $100 a week, you would have been buying into the peak, which sounds bad in retrospect. But dollar cost averaging provides protection from that being a bad thing. Hell, I was buying in October of 21. I smash bought at 61, 63, 62, back at 61, and as high as 64,600 in late October and early November of 2021. So that Bitcoin was underwater for like over 2 years. But undeterred, I kept on buying, and now I'm in the black on every bit of Bitcoin I've purchased. Anyway, so let's pretend you started buying at $100 a week on August 15th, 2021. Your total contribution would by now have been $13,500. You would have bought at or close to the highs like I did, but you would have also been buying at the lows. So as of today, that $13,500 that you put in would be up 145% at just over $33,000. That's right, $13,500 in, and if you sold today, you'd have over $33,000. Okay, so that's my long answer to Ron. And keep those emails coming. Send them directly to me at matt@rogueretirementlounge.com. And if you like the content or if you hate it, I'd like to hear it either way. So now that we've moved to an all-time high, again, I'm looking at the chart and we're at 72,313. You might be wondering if it's a good time to collect your winnings and get out. And my answer, not financial advice, is a big fat no. So I've got a few big reasons why I'm not selling and why I'm buying. First off, you might have heard that the SEC approved Bitcoin spot ETFs in mid-January. And we've got 10 of those ETFs now currently hoovering up Bitcoin, creating a demand squeeze. So right now, about 2 months after the approval, check out these numbers. Last Monday, March 1st, the ETFs gobbled up a net of 8,049 Bitcoins. Tuesday, 10,700. Wednesday, it was 4,800. Thursday, 6,900. And then Friday, down to 3,100. So these numbers, I mean, over 30,000 Bitcoin a week in new demand that simply wasn't there months ago. These numbers are crazy. And to add fuel to this fire, we've got a supply squeeze on the horizon. Next month is the Bitcoin halving, which happens approximately every 4 years. So, as of right now, every Bitcoin block that gets mined has a reward of 6.25 Bitcoins. A new block is mined approximately every 10 minutes for a total of about 900 a day on average. So, on or around April 20th, that supply gets cut in half, down to 3.125 Bitcoins per block, and that would total about 450 produced per day. Now, remember those numbers. We're talking over 30,000 Bitcoin bought last week. So think about it. Think if the global production of gold got cut in half in one day. Suddenly, like miners across the planet were only able to extract half of what they were mining the day before. There'd be pandemonium and panic buying, and gold would go, the price would go insane. Bitcoin is the only asset on planet Earth where this is programmatically designed into the code. And the halving is going to keep happening for another 116 years, approximately every 4 years. So whether or not you like Bitcoin, if you're a dipshit like Ron, or if you just simply don't like it because of the volatility, or if you think it's a Ponzi scheme, or if you buy the Elizabeth Warren horseshit that Bitcoin is bad for the environment, wherever you might fall on the continuum, you can't deny the basic supply-demand situation here. And get this, on top of everything that I just told you, BlackRock, you may have heard of BlackRock, they're the fourth branch of the U.S. government, they manage around $10 trillion worth of assets. And their new Bitcoin ETF is currently the second biggest one out there with almost 200,000 Bitcoin already in their holdings. They're going to be the biggest probably within 2 months. But this week, it was announced that they're planning to incorporate spot Bitcoin ETFs, including their own, into two of their already existing ETFs, their Global Allocation Fund, which currently has about $18 billion in assets under management, and their Strategic Income Opportunities Fund, which clocks in at about $37 billion. Now, this is one of the exciting things about this whole Bitcoin ETF approval. Not only are retail investors like you and me investing in these funds, but also other funds are going to start allocating small portions of their assets under management into these products. Right now, the global value of ETFs, I think, is over $10 trillion, and mutual funds are over $22 trillion. So just say if a tenth of those funds decided to put 1% or 2% of those funds into these ETFs, we're looking at a moonshot here. Anyway, I could go on all day about this stuff. But one more aspect that's got me so bullish about this is the long-term holders. Right now, over 70% of Bitcoin is in the hands of long-term holders, people who've kept that holding in place for over 6 months. These people aren't swing traders, they're savers. These are people like me who see the $70,000 number come and aren't tempted in the least to sell. Am I going to sell at 70? No. Am I going to sell at 150? No. At 300? Well, I'll probably make some moves at that point, depending on, you know, what things are looking like, but definitely not now. And I'm not alone. right now we're in the beginning of what I would call a perfect storm for Bitcoin. And I hope you've got at least a taste of it in your portfolio. If you don't recall my formula, LE minus CA minus 10 equals the percentage of your net worth that I believe everyone should be holding in Bitcoin. Your life expectancy, LE, minus your current age, CA, minus 10. So for me, I think I'm going to live to be 94 years old, and I'm currently 55, okay? So 94 minus 55 is 39, minus 10 equals 29. So by my formula, by my stupid formula, my irresponsible formula, I should have 29% of my assets in Bitcoin. And thanks to a mixture of luck and stupidity, I was able to hit that mark last year, maybe it was the year before. But now that the price has started skyrocketing, well, I'm way past that. And no, I'm not going to rebalance it down. So we're in exciting times for Bitcoin. I look up again, we're at 72,222. It's a beautiful thing. And it's not too late if you're not in it. It's not too late if you're not in it. That's it for today. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email me at matt@roguetirementlounge.com. If you like this content, do me a favor, give me a review wherever you listen to your podcasts, and I will talk to you real soon. Nothing in this podcast is meant to be financial, legal, or tax advice. Though there's some kick-ass information here, it's for informational purposes only. Take control of your retirement planning, but get professional counsel if you need tax, legal, or financial advice. For more content like this, join my mailing list at roguetirementlounge.com. And if you have questions about retirement investing, entrepreneurship, business, or anything else, my email address is matt@roguetirementlounge.com.